Hello out there, welcome to your next mission video podcast. Many veterans transitioning out of the military are choosing Middle Tennessee as their next home. But as many of you know, choosing your next home is just the beginning of your transition journey. Our guests today lead the top nonprofit organization in Tennessee, providing a multitude of services that can support you on that journey. So please, stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, whose mission is taking care of the military community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families. If you ever listen to the show, I always say it, we love them too. The motto is engage, equip, empower. Today's guests are going to tell us just what that means. And I'm excited to welcome Artie Haddix, Chief Executive Officer and a Lieutenant Colonel retired from the United States Air Force, and Penny Anderson, Chief Development and External Affairs Officer at Operation Stand Down Tennessee. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Sergeant Major, thank you for having us. Appreciate this.
Well, I can see the enthusiasm here. I'm all pumped up. We got to help our veteran community here. Hey, we got a lot to talk about. Before we start talking about anything, I want to know just a little bit about you. So, Penny, tell the audience about Penny. Tell me about you.
Sure. So I'm Penny Anderson. I'm the Chief Development and External Affairs Officer at Operation Stand Down Tennessee. I tell people all the time I have the best job in town because I get to introduce people to an incredible mission. I've been raising money professionally for 23 years, and there's no more greater satisfaction than helping raise awareness and resources for those that served in uniform.
You know, Penny, I can feel that motivation. And when you talk about raising money, if you ever got any extra, send it my way.
Same.
Hey, Arlie, how about yourself? Tell the audience just a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, Sergeant Major. Arlie Haddix. So 22 years in the Air Force. I retired in 2014 and relocated to Nashville, Tennessee. I reinvented, ultimately transitioning and pivoting into the nonprofit space. A little bit of an unusual transition there, but started at Operation Stand Down Tennessee in 2018 as a program manager. And I've been there since. I became the chief executive officer this past summer. So a couple position changes since I've been there. But people are here typically because they have a connection to the military and they have a passion for helping veterans, whether they are in career or their crisis or looking for a connection. But that's something that motivates everybody in this organization. And I am very lucky to have Penny as a chief development officer.
Well, I was telling Penny a little while ago, you know, I've been married a long time, so I know who runs my family. So I probably know who's helping you on the way there, Arlie. I'm sure you're running the show, but I'm sure Penny's helping you out there quite a bit.
Arlie is doing an incredible job. He and the program team do things I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
Best job. I get to raise the money. They're the ones that have to figure out how to spend it, log it, track it, and account for every dime.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, Penny, over the years, Operation Stand Down Tennessee has been leading the way when providing, you know, services to our veteran community throughout, you know, I guess throughout all of Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Would you get us started by filling in the history of, sure. You know, Operation Stand Down?
You know, Operation Stand Down is what it looks like when grassroots grow deep. This organization was started in 1993 by a group of volunteers led by Bill Burley, John Ferguson, Bob Tuke, incredible veteran leaders. And for 6 years, the organization operated under what's called the Stand Down Model, which is a once a year gather all veterans experiencing homelessness together and do a weekend event to wrap around services. In 1998, the city of Nashville offered the organization the houses, the transitional houses that we used up until last year to house veterans full time. And for 15 years, we continue to do that stand down model both annually and year round. And in 2013, the organization really looked back at the issues affecting homelessness and affecting transition. And they said, okay, let's start preventing the slide. Let's start preventing crisis. And they added career services. Arlie came in to bring that those career services to a different level. And the organization has continued to evolve and adapt. So what started with one county and just homelessness 33 years ago is now growing to serve all of Middle Tennessee, soon to be parts of East Tennessee and West Tennessee. We are an $8.5 million, on track to be a $9.5 million organization. We're going to be serving over 10,000 veterans next year. It's growing because what we've done is adapt to the changing needs of those veterans. So instead of just homelessness, which we still address, and just job transition, which we still address, we're also doing suicide prevention and food insecurity. We're doing veteran and spouse military transition. We are wrapping legal services. We're helping with mental health and referral services. We are helping veterans get into that VA system. We are helping them learn just how they can leverage that great military experience to a civilian livelihood. And we're doing it by building a better, stronger connection for our veterans and their employers.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing. All the things that you talked about a minute ago, the mental issues, the homelessness, the, just all those things. A lot of people who come on the show, they talk about just the fact that they struggle to fit back into society. You know, they really struggle about, you know, who am I? Where do I go? I mean, and a lot of people don't speak the same language, I guess I'd say. So they really, really have a tough time. So I appreciate you giving us an update, and thank you for what you're doing. Hey, Arlie, can you give us a broad overview now? A broad overview, so, okay? But Penny can help you out here a little bit on some of the programs Operation Stand Down Tennessee offers. I'm just joking. Do you know that, Arlie? Come on now.
I do, Sergeant Major. I appreciate that, and it's tough to follow Penny's description of all that. So it's easy to go what she just said. So Penny, tremendous in terms of her ability to communicate and take complex subjects and simplify them and get them out in those chunk size, and it's crucial to what we do. But we talk about what we do in terms of three C's. You mentioned the three is the engage, the equip, the empower, but we talk about the C's, career, connection, and crisis. And what's that look like? Career, just like it sounds, we help you with what that next is. You do, let's say you do 20 years in the Army as an armor officer, and you've had a tremendous career, you've got a tremendous background, you've got lots of skill sets and experience, but you come here and we don't need armor officers in Middle Tennessee, but we help with those discussions on what could you become, what should you become. On the other end of the spectrum, if you are classically homeless, what you think of somebody living on the streets, the sign on the corner, whatever, we actually do have a transitional housing facility. That's the 42 beds. 35 for men, 7 for women. Penny will go into some more detail, but we will help you get used to life with a roof over your head. That sounds simple. In between those two, if you've come to Middle Tennessee and you're not from here, but you're looking to connect with others, people that know what it's like to have been deployed, people that understand what it's like to be in Baghdad or Bagram or take your pick on the many places that are common in the veteran lexicon. We have those events as well. It's networking, it's building the community and the camaraderie. Kind of going more to the crisis side of the spectrum, if you have a pain point and you're behind on your rent, we can help with that. If you've had your power turned off, we can help with that. If you are having problems with food insecurity, we have a food bank, and we can help with that as well. But we work across that spectrum any given day to meet veterans where they're at. The services we have, the programs that we deliver are desired to go across that spectrum, but we work with others. One thing that we certainly do not want to do is, while we do a lot, we don't want to do everything, meaning that we don't want to help veterans across. But the thing is, if you try to do everything well, you end up doing few things well. So we know the things that we do well. when we bring something on board, we want to do it well. If somebody else is doing something and it makes sense and it works, I want the veteran going to that person, all right? I don't need to reinvent the wheel. I want to refer, not replicate. If I'm building more capacity, I want to do that when it makes sense. But if somebody's got a good idea and it works, let's use it. We want the veteran to get the help that he or she needs, and we're not too crazy about who gets the credit for it. We work together on that. But that's what we do any given day out of our three facilities, one in Columbia, one in Clarksville, and one in Nashville. We got a staff about 75, and they are busy. They are busy. Right now, we have our transition cohort going on, career recon. They're actually out visiting an employer right now. They got rained on. Timing was everything. But they are visiting Ingram Bard, so it's kind of appropriate. They got dumped on by water. So, but just a normal day. We have case managers right now that are working with folks that are having issues with their rent and their utilities. That's just what we do.
Yeah. So. One of the things, and I don't want to get off subject right here, because I think I want to learn about what your process is and what you're doing for our veteran community right here in Tennessee. One of the things that, though, I think all services should be doing is talking about transition a lot sooner before they get out of the military. Because what happens is you're not prepared for what you're going to go through. You think that you are because we're talking 2 years out, but really, quite frankly, we ought to talk 10 years out. Maybe we can talk about when you come into service about processing out. And we ought to do a lot more of that, and it bothers me sometimes as, I talk about numbers and all this other stuff, but it bothers me as we have so many veterans out there struggling. And what did we do prior to them getting out of the military? I know we do the transition class and all that stuff, but I think it's probably just too late. And I wish we'd do, I don't know the answer. Maybe part of the answer is let's start sooner versus later and start talking about what they need. The other thing is there's a lot of people that come on the show, they talk about trying to find their tribe, trying to figure out where they fit in and the effects of war when you go to war, when you come out of war, how it affects you mentally. And just so many people struggle to fit in. So that's some of the things that I know you probably get involved in a lot more than I do, but those things certainly bother me. Hey, Penny, let's talk more in depth about the transition housing program. I know you're really actively involved with that. Could you tell the audience a little bit about that?
Sure. So that is our oldest continuing program. It's a partnership with the VA. When we started, it was 4 houses, then it grew to 7 houses. We have 42 beds of transitional housing. And what does that mean? It can be anywhere from 90 days, which is somebody who's ready for permanent housing but doesn't have their permanent housing yet. It can go up to 2 years. And those are what we think of people who have been chronically homeless, people that really do need to be healed and skilled up before they're ready to be completely independent. 3 years ago, we launched a capital campaign to build a new transitional housing facility. We wanted to give every veteran their own bedroom and their own bathroom. And we're so proud to say that in June of 2024, we cut the ribbon on that facility. And in March of this year, we officially became a debt-free organization.
Oh my God.
We are thrilled.
Congratulations.
We are thrilled to be able to say that because that allows us to really put every dollar that we bring in to our mission and to be as healthy as we can be, just like we do for our veterans. So this program has 42 beds, 35 for men, 7 for women. We have wings within the building. So each wing shares a kitchen. They share laundry. They share a common room. And then all the wings open to a courtyard that's very relaxing and zen-like, and a classroom. And our case managers are on site. In fact, our average stay in our transitional housing is 9 months, and we're able to have, I think, an 87% permanent housing rate for people getting out of our program. The ones that don't are typically going to a different level of care, or they're going to a different type of program.
Yeah. Do you bring families in there too, or just veterans?
Yeah. Our model is set up for the single veteran. What we are able to do through a partnership with the state of Tennessee, we can take families, veteran families experiencing homelessness, and get them into emergency housing through a partnership with Families First. And then we can refer to partners like Safe Haven and Oasis Center. But our facility and our program is licensed for single veterans who don't have profound medical needs.
Yeah. Peter, I shouldn't ask you this question, but I got to ask because I'm thinking about it here. You probably get some people that come in either and have drinking problems, have a drug problem. What do you do with those guys or gals?
I'm going to pivot back to Arlie. We refer our sobriety program.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Well, I mean, do you get a lot of people that come in like with those kind of issues? Go ahead, Arlie.
So Jack, sorry, Major, we have a protocol for that. And really the key things that we're looking for are the, are you in an active dependency? If you're truly in an active dependency, you are beyond our level of care. We screen for that and we will get you over there. We are not looking for a reason to go, you can't be in here. We're actually looking for reasons for you to be in here. We're going to tell you what the standard is and we're going to hold you to it. But it's not a one strike and you're out. But the other thing is, but a key part of this space is knowing what you can do and what you cannot do and referring those folks out. But yes, it does happen where it's like, you know, you need a level of case management that we just cannot deliver. Let's get you over there.
Yeah. Just to make a comment, and then we got to take a quick break. I would probably think that a lot of people come in or sometimes just need somebody to talk to. And somebody just to listen to what their issues are and sort of say, look, I'm down on my luck. Things aren't going right. And you know, here's the things I'm bothered by or whatever. I'm sure you get a lot of people that, I don't know if you get a lot of people, but you get a few people like that that just need to talk to somebody.
We do. You know, if I can tell a quick story.
Sure, go ahead.
A guy named Tony. Tony was a Navy veteran. He was actually voted Sailor of the Year. He was an instructor at Annapolis. He got hurt. He got addicted to his painkillers, and over about a two-year period, he went from Sailor of the Year to divorced, homeless, out of the military, and being controlled by his addiction. He's in and out of our transitional housing facility, I think at least three times, maybe four. Every time he would leave our program, he would go into a rehab facility, he would come out, and he kept hitting closed door after closed door after closed doors. And he would tell us we were the only door that would routinely stay open. And now, fast forward several years, he graduated from our program, successfully got his COIN. He got a job with the VA. He's now a supervisor. He's helping veterans navigate benefits and navigate addiction and programs. And he's serving as a walking example. He owns a home. He has a job. And he says it's because we never gave up on him, but we also held him accountable.
Yeah, yeah. I tell people all the time, simply by the grace of God, that could be me. You know what I mean? I mean, because everybody in life struggles. And if there's somebody around there to put their arm around you, give you a hug, pat you on the back, do something to sort of to lift you up a little bit and get you going in the right direction. Hey, I want to talk about you, how you're reaching out to provide services that you just described. But first, as always, we need to take a quick break. So don't go anywhere, Arlie Pitney. Don't go anywhere. Be right there. We'll come right back in a minute. Hey, this is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major. And if you're enjoying this discussion, I know you are because we're talking about lives. We're talking about our veteran community. We're talking about people that struggle sometimes. All of us struggle. We're talking about trying to fit in, and we're trying to really put our arms around and help people. We're all part of a family. We've got to stick together. We've got to continue to do things that help our veteran community. You know, together we stand, together we're strong. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below, and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at purdueglobal.edu. and USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Arleigh Haddix, Chief Executive Officer and a Lieutenant Colonel retired of the United States Air Force, and Penny Anderson, Chief Development and External Affairs Officer at Operation Stand Down Tennessee. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing on behalf of our veterans and their families here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle, you have any plans to get rid of, or some property you don't have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or the home donation button to support our work. We really appreciate your support. Arleigh, you have about, I guess the number I read, about 450,000 veterans in Tennessee and over 150,000 just in your service area. You know, I gotta ask you, how are you reaching out to provide support and services to the veteran community, especially at that size?
So carefully, I'd say we do it carefully, but we have a team, and very simply, they put in the work. That's one thing about they put in the work. So we brought in 2024, we had about 15 to 16,000 veterans come through our door. We count that as a visit, so somebody can come in more than once. But so we had about 16,000 visits and just under 8,000 veterans served. So math in public, which is dangerous. A veteran comes in twice, doesn't ever work that easily and all that. But that's the scope that we're seeing among our three service centers. But we have a dedicated team to go out and find the veterans that we're looking for. So the key thing when you talk about the veteran community and we talk about that continuum of crisis, connection, and career is to realize that veterans are not all one unique average statistic. There's different types of veterans, not better or worse, but different segments. So we have a team that is looking for the classically homeless veteran. We have a team that's looking for the veteran that is not classically homeless, which isn't very descriptive, but other indications of suicide prevention. And then we also have a team that's looking for folks that are in the career transition, but they go out and they are finding them the old-fashioned way. But also the outreach and how we do that has another level of difference that makes within that. So a veteran that's in crisis probably typically is very much going to come walking through the doors of Stand Down for our crisis services. And that's exactly what we want. We have a powerful word of mouth that gets our capabilities out there. But so we have the physical outreach that does that, that enables that and brings folks in. But on the career side and to a degree the connection side as well, that's a digital footprint. We have to go out and engage digitally with those veterans. And that engagement is different. Not better, worse, just different. So on the career side, you can imagine a lot of LinkedIn because that's where the career space happens. On the crisis side, a lot of Facebook because that's where that tends to be. But we go across that quite a bit in terms of how we get the vendors and how we engage them and how we get them to use our services or to use the services of other providers that are out there. Again, it doesn't have to be us. But what we want to do is this. When you transition from the military, we have to fall back for a second. Remember, when we transitioned into the military, we were taught very, very strongly, don't ever do anything by yourself. You always, being Air Force, have to have a wingman. You always have to have a battle buddy. In fact, if you get caught early on going through basic and your technical training and you're solo, it's not going to be a good day for you because that is a key battlefield lesson. Do not do anything by yourself on the battlefield. Yet, unfortunately, what do veterans tend to do when they leave the military? They tend to transition by themselves. And that is a critical mistake in this outreach piece of what we're doing, whether it's physical, whether it's traditional homelessness, whether it's suicide prevention, whether it's connection, is to find them and break that cycle. We break down the you're no longer isolated. There's somebody else that is here. There's somebody that can connect with you, that can get it, and that can get you started. That's 90% of the battle. And that's where we live.
Yeah. A couple of things. Do you use social media at all to reach? I'm not sure. Do you use social media a lot to reach out to veterans? And then the other thing I was going to ask you, I don't know if this is true or not, but it sounds makes sense to me. Some veterans don't tell you they're veterans. And they're sort of
that is correct. To,
yeah, is that right? Oh,
That's absolutely correct. It is especially in the career transition side. It is very, but it's a very good likelihood to be convinced that your veteran service is almost a scarlet letter, and to get it off you and get it off you now. And you know, if you get to that, unfortunately, a host of other things are starting to occur that we need to undo. But yes, it is. Getting veterans to self-identify is one of the critical challenges when we work with employers, and employer says, hey, I want to hire veterans. One, good to let them tell you that, good to let them talk to you and supposedly, you know, kind of get the stuff off their chest. But the key part is you know, if you want to attract and hire veterans, take care of the veterans you have right now. And that means you need to identify them. And that usually takes folks down the road. I don't know who I have on staff. Well, let's help you go find them. That is a key thing. Identification sounds simple, but many things, the simple things frequently are the hard things.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a great discussion. Hey, Penny, we talked about a lot of stuff here so far. But what are the top two or three issues that really stand out for you?
Sure. So everybody's, you know, for several years now, the impact of inflation, the sharply rising costs of living in Middle Tennessee, you know, 10 years ago, we were not the it city, and now we're still riding the it city. Clarksville has become an it city. Columbia has become an it city. The cost of housing and the cost of living have just risen so much that a standard family, a veteran family that would have been stable 5 years ago, might be living paycheck to paycheck now. So Operation Stand Down is a little bit different from a lot of other veteran serving organizations because we talk about a hybrid model. We have incredible partnerships with the VA and with federal grants, but we also augment our ability to serve with philanthropy. So we have an integrated approach. Our supportive services for a veteran family program is outstanding in helping prevent that eviction or prevent that homelessness. And if they have become homeless, helping that working family get rapidly rehoused. That's critical. We are in conversations with the VA to expand our territory that we're able to serve using those funds. We expect sometime in 2026 to be able to announce some expansion east and west to be able to serve even more veterans. One of the biggest issues we talked about is transition. We are doing our career services for transitioning veterans, but we're also targeting spouses. And oftentimes we find that if we're able to talk with spouses before the transition, the whole family's transition is going to be smoother.
Bingo.
Now, oftentimes it's the coordinator for the family. So being able to help that spouse land a great civilian job at the same time that their transitioning service member is landing a great civilian job, that's going to be a safer, happy, healthier transition. And, you know, the biggest thing for us, not the biggest, but the thing that resonates for me is our work in veteran suicide prevention. You know, we are not a behavioral health provider. We are the fishing rod, so to speak. We are getting veterans in the boat. The stat that has stuck with me is that 2/3 of the veterans who take their lives were not connected to the VA or were not connected to a veteran serving organization. Every single time we get somebody connected, every single time we shake a hand, every single time somebody says, oh, I wish I had known about you, or they tell somebody else about us, they come to a meetup, they come to LinkedIn Music City, we're potentially saving a life. We're creating that 2 a.m. battle buddy phone call pipeline. And the work that we're doing, it's widespread. It's a broad approach. But in many ways, it's our most life-saving program.
Yeah. Wow. I think a bunch of stuff. You ever have somebody come through your program and you hire them at the end, they come back and work for you or work with you? Does that ever happen? Go ahead.
Yes.
I mean, you have to mention their name or nothing. But
actually, no. Actually, yes. We have somebody that came through a career recon program. And actually, she is part of our outreach team, and we are happy to have her. And I can also tell you that the director of outreach team and the director of my career initiatives team are going back and forth, because I know the director of career initiatives wants to steal her, and he's like, no, I'm going to let those two figure that out. But yes, we've had that. But we have also had clients that are on the crisis side, where we're dealing with rent and deposits and eviction or eviction notices, and we've gotten them stabilized. And months later, they're on staff, and they do good things for us. Yeah, so we get to see that.
Yeah, you got to figure out where you fit in. And when you go through a program like that, it sort of, it picks you up a little bit. The other thing, it's really smart for you to talk to the spouses. All the time you talk about spouses, I was like, during my military career, and I've stayed in the military a long time, I was always gone. My wife ran the house, everything was going on. And in fact, the only time I rarely ever moved my household goods was my last move when I PCS to Florida. So, I mean, the spouse is really an important aspect of any family. There's no question about that. Hey, Arlie, would you talk about how you're reaching rural veterans through the VA supportive services on veterans, the family program or families program, I guess it is?
Sure. So the program Supportive Services for Veteran Families is, think of what we do beyond the season. Think it's the quiver of arrows. So somebody that's having problems with homelessness, whether they're on the road to it, they're there, or haven't been there very long, this is the quiver of arrows we use to solve that problem. Typically, if we're working with somebody in terms of their behind on their rent, behind utilities, that's primarily the bucket we're using on. And one thing I want to say with this is the things that I've just talked about, where we are talking about spending money, is temporary financial assistance. It's easy to bore sight on the fact that we deliver temporary financial assistance and say, that's how you help the veteran. While that is true, realize it's the staff member working with the veteran going, hey, why are you behind on your rent? Why are you behind on utilities? Why did you get an eviction notice, whatever? So the temporary financial assistance buys space and time for the staff member to conduct case management and work on those issues. Are you going to solve the issues? No. But you can beat them back enough so they're manageable and the veteran can stabilize. And that's exactly what we want to do. And we do that, back to the statement I said earlier, you do the work. It is hard work. It is tedious. It can be emotional, that, but you work it and you go through the process. So we are doing that for the rural counties. We started with the urban counties, and now we are moving out to that. But as we look at the rural counties and go, and we're strategizing, how do we get out there and get the words out? Those are active conversations that we're having, and the timing of when do we start that. But based on the geography of Tennessee, right now where we operate very much three locations of brick and mortar. If we're going to get out into these additional counties, we need a different strategy. And we believe that strategy to be a mobile strategy. So how do we get out there? How do we take case management and how do we make our offices mobile? We're not going to take this building and put it on wheels. We've talked about that. But we will come up with something where we can go out. And what we want to do is work with partners that are out there, our corporate partners, are their non-governmental partners, and figure a way that we can go and be mobile and go to their location and park and deliver services, and then come back to an operating hub, whether it be one of our pre-existing service centers, depending on the counties we're talking about, or a to-be-determined hub. But yeah, that's what we're thinking.
Yeah. You know, all the time you're thinking about, a lot of the veterans that I talk about, they just sort of, it's a word of mouth. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. I mean,
if you're doing a good job, they're going to talk about what you're doing. Or on the other side of that, if you're doing a bad job, they're going to say, hey, don't visit those guys. So do you get a lot of veterans that come and say, hey, how'd you find out? Well, word of mouth. John told me, or Chuck told me, or whatever.
Yes, actually, process-wise, when you come into stand down and beyond the welcome to stand down, are you a veteran? Believe it or not, you do want to ask that question. But are you stand out? Are you a veteran? But yeah, we have a sign-in sheet. Just as simplistic as it sounds, and one thing that we ask is, how did you hear about us? And one thing, typically, a friend, family member, we within a homeless community, we know the other programs, and someone will say, I heard about you from this other program. So we do get that quite a bit. I will tell you, that's on the crisis side. On the career side, again, the connection side, that happens a lot. Hey, I talked to somebody who said I should contact you. And that's exactly what we want. We want that digital word of mouth. We want that networking and all that. When we get that, that's one of the eureka moments.
Yeah. So I just sit here thinking about, you know, if you're homeless and you're sitting down, you may not be talking to a lot of people, but you're talking to somebody else that's homeless and somebody else that has the same kind of issues. And so you can connect with each other. Hey, we need to take, this is a great discussion. We're talking about some things that are so important to our community, to our veteran community right here in Tennessee. But we need to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about how you get the word out to veterans throughout, you know, Middle Tennessee and about your services. So please, as I said before, you're not going to move. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Now here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Arlie Haddix, Chief Executive Officer and a Lieutenant Colonel retired United States Air Force, and Penny Anderson, Chief Development and External Affairs Officer at Operation Stand Down Tennessee. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you. And just like Middle Tennessee, we want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I said many times, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can send me a message at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. All right, let's talk about how you are reaching out to all the veterans. We talked about a little bit about social media and stuff, but how are you reaching out to them?
Sure. So on the spectrum that we operate from, that career to connection to the crisis, one that we haven't talked about quite a bit is this the food insecurity piece. So we have a food bank. Penny actually was she was the strategist behind this. Credit was due. But we have a food bank and we deliver foods to veterans. So, and their families are experiencing food insecurity. So what we have found beyond the food insecurity pieces, this is a very good way to connect with the community. So whether we take it to a veteran's house or whether we take it, say, to a veteran service officer's in one of the counties and we drop off 10 bags there. Within that, it's branded. It has our contact information, and it's a very diffuse way, but it's also quite an elegant way of getting that word out. So it doesn't necessarily go dot to dot to dot to somebody to come in, but that is one of more effective ways of doing this. So something else that we have found out is there's a heavy volunteer component to the preparation of these bags. We bring in volunteers to help us break down the food that we order, to organize it, and then build the bags. It builds camaraderie, it builds connection and all that, but it's a very good way. That also gets the word out because that's not exclusive to veterans. And those people talk to other people who talk to other people. And that word, you build your network and it ink blots out and it gets out there. It's amazing to see that at work on that side of the house. And we do the same thing digitally as we engage with folks point to point. The LinkedIn Music City series of networking events, incredibly powerful. Is it likely we will have somebody that's in crisis at one of these? Maybe, probably not. But it's that second and third order effect. Think the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, whatever. That person that's there is going to know somebody else who's going to know somebody else. And that's about the time we're starting to get that crisis level. And that's what we want. We're building the network and we're putting our network out there. And I hate to say it just happens because there's a lot of work that goes into it, but there's a tipping point. It's an amazingly effective.
You know, some people don't want to ask for help. Some people don't want you to, you know, they don't want to be bothered. And probably when they come to you, they're probably on the last straw. And it's the last thing they could, you know, only thing they can figure out and maybe ask you guys for help. But do you run into people that just don't want to talk or just, well, I guess, I guess you probably do, but those are the ones that I worry about. Again, the reason I'm saying that is because those are the ones that take their life by suicide. Those are the ones that figure out, hey, look, I can't do anything else. I'm a failure in life. You know, things are just not going right. You know, what am I going to do? And it's a tough job, and it's a lot of people that struggle that just I certainly worry about a lot. I know the people around me worry about it too, but I don't know what to do about people like that. So I thought it made any sense, but that's a struggle that I think a lot of people have to deal with. About what about the ones that just don't ask for help and are just sitting out there just trying to figure out a way probably to die and get away from everybody, I guess. So, hey, Penny, would you like to add anything? I mean, what Arlie just said, I sort of got carried away there a little bit, but.
You know, we're Operation Stand Down. We are members, you know, USAA, and they're Face the Fight. We're part of the Bob Woodruff Got Your Six Network. We are part of the, you know, Davidson County Continuum of Care. We get a lot of referrals, but we're also out there messaging. You know, Arlie and I try to crack this code all the time with Ryan, who's our director of marketing. How do you market your homeless services without making your veterans who just want to come to a connection event or a meetup event or want to help you help find that managerial role? You alienate one if you market too hard to the others. Market homelessness services. Somebody might not come in for a meetup because they think we're not for them. But if we lean too hard into the career and connection piece, then our veterans in crisis don't feel like they could be welcome either. So the only answer is to be organic and authentic. And that ultimately is actually how we deliver our services. There is no day so bad that's worth your life. There is no day so bad that you can't pick up the phone and call somebody and say, I'm in trouble. And that message just has to get repeated again and again and again and again until one day, hopefully, we don't have this problem anymore. Removing the stigma is critical. And some of the ways we do that actually are through our events. And by having, like Arlie talked about, these organic outreach teams. Some of our bigger events that are coming up, you know, we've got LinkedIn Music City this week. We'll have it again in December. And that's through, you know, Ted Hacker and American Freedom Foundation lead these incredible programmings here at our Nashville community room. We have our Nashville Heroes Breakfast. It's going to be November 7th this year. We bring over 1,200 people to the Music City Center for connection, camaraderie, hearing a great veteran speaker. This year, we're going to have an astronaut, Scott Kelly, retired Navy captain. He's going to talk about space photography and about finding things he's passionate about after his military service. Creating those types of ability to bring people together organically is how we make this work. We're as authentic in a homeless camp as we are at the Costco in Brentwood, as we are in a room of 1,200 executives.
Yeah, that's really, you had the breakfast. Is there another thing that you're doing too? A breakfast, there's just two things you had right in there. One there.
Yeah, we're in Career Recon right now, and we're gonna have another cohort in the spring of 2026. So if somebody's on our website, osdtn.org/recon, they can get information about the 2026 cohort. We have our Music City Ruck March is going to be October 4th, which is super exciting. We'll be at Nissan Stadium and then the Nashville Heroes Breakfast. If you want to lace on the boots and throw on a pack, we'll see you at 7 a.m. on October 4th at the stadium.
Let me think for a second. No. Well, I did a lot of that stuff in the military, and I tell you what, I don't want to do it no more.
You can run the golf course.
If it had a golf course on it where I could hit the golf ball or something like that.
I'll let you hit a golf ball off the top of the 300 section.
Oh, maybe I could do that. That'd be a lot of fun. There you go.
Hit the Cumberland River, Arlie will buy you a beer.
I'm in. Hey, Arlie, if somebody wants to reach out to you to seek help or just to donate,
sure.
What's the best way to get all of you guys?
Sure. Two best ways. The website, www.osdtn.org. OSDTN is the abbreviation for Operation Stand Down Tennessee. That's a great way to reach us. Email, So info@osdtn.org. Those are the best ways to get a hold of us. They sound simplistic. It is that simple. That's the best way to do it. We have plenty of people that monitor the website. We have people that monitor that email, and they will just naturally take that and triage it out. And I see that triage process happen every day. I know better to get involved, but I see it happen every day. The team takes care of it.
Yeah. So there's no phone number, nothing, I guess.
Our national phone number is going to be area code 615-248-1981. So that'll ring here. It'll go to the front desk. And again, same thing. That simple. It will triage from there.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. First of all, let me tell you, this has been a great, first of all, let me tell you, thank you for what you're doing. You're doing a great job. And I can really tell as you're talking, you've bought in 100%. You want to do all you can to help that veteran community, and you're proud of what you're doing, but you're making a difference in the lives of a lot of people that maybe people will never know all the things you're doing, but I certainly know, and I hope a lot of people that listen to the show will find out about what you're doing to make a better life for a lot of our veteran community. Now, like I said, this has been a great discussion. Any final thoughts, anything that maybe you missed or you want to reemphasize? And I guess we'll start with Arlie. We're going to Penny every time. We'll let Arlie take the lead on this. So go ahead, Arlie.
So thank you, Sergeant Major. I appreciate that. So one, if you're hearing this, please get the word out, especially if you're Middle Tennessee. But even if you're not, please get the word out. We get plenty of contacts. Hey, can you help me? I'm in this county of Tennessee. And we'll go, you know what? We do not operate in that county, but start here. And if you get nothing back, let us know. But we do that frequently and all that. But we want to do that. We are growing this organization's AC. We are delivering a greater depth of services that we do. But we're also doing a greater breadth in terms of the geographic footprint and all that. And the intent is to continue to grow that, do it and do it smartly. But at the end of the day, where we want to go is we are progressively moving more and more upstream, more and more preventative. And that's where we want to be. We want to be proactive, not reactive. I want somebody before there's a major problem. In fact, I want somebody before they have that problem and all that. Ironically, success for us is the day when no one in crisis comes walking through the doors here. It's when everyone comes here, they have a good career transition, that stops the chain events, and they go have a great holistic life, and they don't experience those pain points. So ironically, here on one point, I want success to be the day no one comes walking through that door. That's the day I want to go see. That day is not today. That day is not tomorrow. And it's probably unrealistic, but we're going to try to get there.
There you go. Oh, wow. Penny, how about yourself? Any last minute thoughts?
So, one of the easiest ways that somebody can support us is following us on social media. All of our handles are at OSDTN for LinkedIn, for Facebook, for Instagram. We actually just got a TikTok. We're going to be OSD.
Oh, TikTok. Okay.
We're trying to get Arlie to commit to a dance, but it's fine. And then... The other thing is, again, I'm a fundraiser. We can't do our mission without money. I can tell you that this organization runs a 16.5 cent overhead. We are a lean and mighty crew. We do a lot of work with a very low margin. We're under the national, almost half of the national average for operating expenses because we want to put as much money as possible to the mission. So if somebody wants to support us, they can go to osdtn.org/donate.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because every time somebody asks me to donate something, I always go back and see how much they're keeping, how much of that money I send you, or are you going to, cut off the top there? So
100%. And we put our 990 and our audits on our website for transparency.
Yeah. Well, there's no question in my mind, you're doing a tremendous job. And I just thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for what you continue to do. And please, Ted, myself, will be there for you all the time. So thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Sergeant.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks again to Arlie Haddix and Penny Anderson for Operation Stand Down Tennessee for being with us. I'm Jack Attelli, 12th Sergeant Major. You've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. Hopefully it's a good review. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with Recruit Military and Offline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages. Never thought I'd ever say this. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and of course, Rumble. And if you like what we're doing at Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Arlie and Penny for joining us today. And I could say a lot of stuff about, Operation Stand Down Tennessee. They're making a difference in the lives of so many. But I want to tell you something here. Everybody struggles, me, you, and everybody else. And I think, I said it to somebody the other day, I said, in life, you got to struggle a little bit. It makes you a better person. But you don't have to struggle by yourself. There's so many people that want to put their arms around you, hug you, say, come on into my house, or come on in, let me help you out. Everybody struggles in life, but you're not alone. You'll never be alone. If you have a problem, go to places like Operation Stand Down Tennessee and say, look, I need a help. I need a help, a little bit of hand up. And they'll help you because they care about your life and your family's life and your success in life. God bless you and just keep fighting. Never think that you're alone. Thanks for watching and thanks to New Mind Students and of course our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.